Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the Monday Rundown brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Football season is in full swing. Tailgating season is in full swing. And that means you need to get your flag to fly high, whether it be at the lots at Jack Trice Stadium or out in front of your house, wherever you live. You got to get your Cyclone flag, your favorite NFL team. The pennant race is heating up in baseball right now. And then, of course, NBA season is right around the corner. Preseason starts in about a week and a half.
Don't forget baseball season.
I said the pennant race. I'm sorry.
My mind tripped over itself there for a second.
You're back on baseball again now?
I'm thinking about Cubs are doing well.
We get like a weekly update of whether or not Rob is in or out on the Cubs by whether or not he wants to fly his Cubs flag.
Yep. I might be adding to the collection.
Yeah. So we'll see
what happens if they lose five in a row.
There you go. Get out there and pick up your flag from Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. They've got pretty much any kind of flag that you could ever want, whatever sport, any season, doesn't matter. Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of the Monday Rundown, here with Jared Stansberry and Rob Gray. What's up, brother? How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How about yourself?
It's going. It's a busy Monday, that's for sure. It's a busy Monday, especially for a bye week.
You look fantastic with a bald head.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the first podcast with a bald head. It's, hopefully I didn't lose all of my...
For a good cause. But let's, again, Chris has done it plenty, but let's give a big thanks to all the Fanatics for supporting the cause there. I mean, just above and beyond as usual.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy that Chris set the goal at $5,000.
Yeah.
And I think we'd blown that out of the water within about 16 hours.
Yeah.
And then we tripled it by the time the night was over on Friday. And I think that we probably finished somewhere around 17.5 or something like that. I said that I'd shave my head at 16, and you guys blew that out of the water. So thanks for everybody that came together to support Kids Cancer Connection. And it's really awesome stuff. And I was happy to do it, even though I look goofy now.
That's all right.
Obviously, big news this morning, starting it off with Oklahoma wide receiver Sean Shaw announced his commitment to Iowa State here about a couple hours ago on Twitter. Big pickup for Iowa State. I mean, they really needed to add another wide receiver to this class, and I know that they wanted to add a guy that's a little bit bigger. Shaw, 6'5", 190 pounds, and he brings a lot of playmaking ability to the edge there for this Iowa State offense. And we've seen what they can do with these big receivers with Allen Lazard and Hakeem Butler. So this is just another one of those guys that fits into that mold.
Yeah, they're really building strong, really strong depth there. And again, the size that you mentioned, the prototype, you know, this is the prototype receiver they're looking for, and highly regarded guy. What would you say, highest rated recruit in the class?
Yeah, he is the highest. Far. He passes Rial Mitchell as the highest rated recruit in the class. I don't know where he's at since Matt Campbell got here, but he's probably up there for one of the higher recruited guys that they've gotten. His offer list doesn't really reflect that. Wyoming, Kansas, some other schools like that. But I know Oklahoma had shown some serious interest. I think it'll probably play out over the next couple of months whether or not they'll eventually extend him an offer. I know Texas had inquired a little bit on his services as well. So definitely a big pickup for Matt Campbell and his program. And a guy that I know that they're really excited about right now in Ames.
And how much, I don't want to say heat, but from some quarters, you know, the high ranking in terms of how many offers you throw out there, the fruits of your labor or the fruits of casting a wide net are show up in situations like this, I think. And again, when you've made that commitment to somebody and then they commit to you, that's a bond that, yes, it can be. People will be coming in and trying to shake that, not, you know, weaken that bond. Of course, it happens everywhere. But just the fact that you establish it, the fact that you shoot high and you shoot often, helps to lead to such things as this.
Well, and I think for a kid like that to see what they've been able to do with Allen and Hakeem here so far this season, obviously it's got to be pretty encouraging to recruit like that to know that, you know, if you come to Iowa State, you're going to get used and you're going to be a focal point of the offense, especially if you can prove that your ranking is valid.
Yeah.
Which I think that his is. I think he's a really good player, and he'll make a really nice receiver duo in this 2018 class with Carson Schlecker from Allen, Texas, a little bit of a smaller receiver, kind of in that DeShante Jones, Trevor Ryan type mold. So you got two different ends of the spectrum there for receivers for Iowa State, but this is a really nice pickup for a Monday. And like I said, I think that this is somebody that people in Ames are really, really excited about right now. And somebody that Iowa State fans should be excited about as well.
Indeed.
Sticking with some recruiting news, tonight, I mean, I guess if you're listening to this on Tuesday, but Monday night, Tyrese Halliburton from Wisconsin, a Hoops recruit, set to announce his college decision. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he does choose Iowa State. In fact, I'm expecting him to pick Iowa State and them to land their second commit here in the last 2 weeks, and be a nice little compliment alongside Zion Griffin. I have a Zion scouting report that's set to post sometime this week. I put it in the system today. I assume that Chris will get it posted whenever we need something, but that you can look forward to that. And I'm going to work to get Zion on an On the Trail podcast this week, and then assuming that Tyrese commits to Iowa State like we are expecting him to, I'm going to work on getting him on one as well.
Outstanding. And I mean, how about some momentum there? I know there was a lot of gnashing of teeth, you know, over some of the things that juiced in stuff and you know, quote unquote misses, but you know, big momentum with Zion, and then, you know, more to come, obviously.
Yeah, I think he's rated as the number 177 player in the 2018 class, so not exactly a super highly rated guy, but he did have quite a few suitors. I know Nebraska, he took an official visit there. Minnesota was a school that was hard after him, and you know, this is gonna be a nice little pickup. He's a good shooter, combo guard, 6'5" at range. You know, a guy that can come in and add a little bit of instant offense to this Iowa State team. And then if Iowa State does get him, then you know, that leaves them with two spots left in this 2018 class. I still think that they're gonna land George Condit when he announces his commitment here in about 2 weeks, I guess, on October 2nd. He just finished up an official visit to Illinois over the weekend, and then, you know, I don't know who that last spot's going to go to. It could go to Talen Horton Tucker. I know Javian Fleming is set to come on a visit sometime next month. So it'll be interesting to see how those last two spots fill out. Like I said, I do expect George Condit to get one. But do we see them bank one of those scholarships and try and grab a mid-year guy later on in the season? It's going to be interesting to see how this coaching staff moves forward, especially if they're able to get some of these guys that have been high on their list for a long time. And that doesn't even include a Tyler Harris type, who was another one of those guys that they've been on for a really long time, and they've been considered the leader for quite a while as well.
Yeah, a lot of intrigue coming up, and I know you'll be all over it as usual, so definitely stay tuned here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Yep, so like I said, Tyrese Halliburton, I expect that to come out sometime around 5 o'clock Monday night, so keep an eye on Twitter. I'm sure that we will be all over it, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to him shortly after he makes his college decision. All right, back to football, on the field stuff. Iowa State 41-14 win over Akron on Saturday. The way I termed it on the Instant Reaction podcast was it felt like a workmanlike performance more than anything else.
Indeed. That was the general consensus, seemingly, of some of the things I read on the forum, too. And you like those kind of things. I mean, one thing that I really like is that fans feel better about that win than Coach Campbell does.
Yeah.
And he made that very clear in his postgame comments to reporters on site in Akron, and obviously on the Cyclone Radio Network on site as well with Eric Heft, and included those in the recap. I mean, how refreshing is that? You know, when Paul Rhodes won games that maybe had a poor quarter, which the second quarter was in that game, but pretty darn good otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, we did touch on those, but Campbell chose to really highlight just how much more they have to climb the mountain in order to feel like they're where they want to be. And I just think that's very positive to see that. And you see the players taking to that. You know, Jacob Park talking about being perfect. He did that on Media Day, and didn't really like a question I asked him about balancing that with the realization that, of course, you can't totally be perfect. So mm-hmm. Make sure you don't get down on yourself when you're not perfect versus, you know, all that. But I just think that's not the way they're thinking about it. You know, when they're not perfect, it's just like, okay, build from that.
Right. And it's I was doing more of this research last night. I mean, every week it's, you can do an update on how good the Iowa State offense has been. And, you know, they elevate, during that one game, they elevate their yards per play from 6.1 to 6.5, which would be the best mark in school history. And, you know, 500 plus total yards against the Zips. And it's like I said, they've been this good, and yet they're still leaving stuff out there yep. for what they're going to be able to do moving forward. You know, there were still some drops. There were still some scenarios where Park maybe didn't make the best throw that he could have. They still aren't running the ball at the level that I think that they can. So there's still a lot out there for this Iowa State offense. And even then, they've played at a really good level. And they're, you know, leading the conference in fewest sacks allowed. Somehow, they're leading the conference in sacks, is something that I can safely say I don't think anybody would have expected going into this season. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's helped. They had, five against Akron. Is that right?
I believe so. Five or six.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're helped by that.
Yeah.
You know, but still, what this team has been able to do, and some of the things that I think we thought were going to be negatives have turned out to be better than what we expected going on into the season. But then at the same time, the receivers that we hyped up all season long, they've been good, but
they're nowhere near the
ceiling
because of some of the drops and you know, a few, you know, it's amazing, you know, Park did sail some. But that's how you want somebody to miss, if they're just a little bit maybe too hyped up, just not quite in the zone that way, rather than, you know,
unless you're throwing it to
Randy Moss in a jump ball situation, Alan Lazard in the case of the Cyclones, by design, you know, that's where picks happen. And I mean, he was so good in that game, think how good it would have been. You're going to have a couple drops a game. I don't think drops were as big of an issue. Obviously, when Allen got hurt, that looked like that was right there as he was going down to get it, or got shaken up by the helmet-to-helmet hit. But, yeah, I mean, there is a ton of room for growth. And here you are, Iowa State, 24th in the country at points per game with 41.3, over 40 in three straight games for the first time since 1976.
Yeah.
Our nation's centennial. I was in a parade. I was a little kid. There's an aside. A friend of the family made like this Paul Revere costume, and I rode in a little float down Ames towards the cemetery toward 13th Street with a friend, you know, waving, you know, dressed up like Paul Revere.
So last time Iowa State's offense scored 40 points in three straight games, Rob Gray was actually Paul Revere.
A little kid
dressed
up as Paul Revere.
The last time Paul Revere rode was the last time Iowa State had 40 points in three straight games.
Something like that, yeah. At least wrote in that sense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, you know, they've been quite efficient, but not as efficient as they can be.
Yeah.
And they've been quite explosive, but not as explosive as they can be.
Yeah.
And that's why the stress this week, wrote something quick today after Campbell's teleconference, as you did with the important injury updates and such, posted on the site along with my piece, that Campbell just reiterated all that there's so many areas to get better. One of the ones that's been glaring really is third downs, getting off the field on third downs, 47.7%.
Right.
There's, I think, 11 teams in the country that are doing worse than that. And imagine being a fan of a team where you're giving up like 55% of third downs.
Yeah, that would be not good.
But at the same time, the sacks, you're getting more pressure. I mean, you held outside of one quarter, you shut out Akron, who, you know, let's face it, they're a team in transition, it looks like. I think they got a lot of new faces, some mainstays. But, you know, just a really well-executed game, except for that second quarter for Iowa State. And, again, as Campbell said, a lot to work on, the third downs, and wants the offensive lines to even do better, even though it's done quite well, I think, given the one sack.
Yeah.
But Montgomery, that they're leading the country with 36 broken tackles, and Park up there. I mean, Lazard adding to the record books. I mean, so many good things, and yet, again, I'll settle on the word refreshing to hear that there's so much they want to work on, and they're not anywhere remotely satisfied.
Well, and they've been, you know, as efficient as an Iowa State offense as we've seen in recent years. And like you said, you note the drops and stuff like that. But Jacob Park is still completing passes at a rate that will to break the school record for completion percentage in a single season.
Yep.
And he's has the highest quarterback rating that an Iowa State quarterback has ever
he'll
had.
Probably break
he'll
that.
Break
yeah.
the remote.
Shatter it.
Surely shatter the record for passing touchdowns in a season and yards in a season. There, I mean, just total offense, they're going to break that record by like 500 yards at their current pace.
Yeah.
So it's like they would have played an extra game, and they won't have played an extra game compared to some of those other teams. So it's crazy just to see, you know, how this offense has been so good, but at the same time, I think everybody knows that they can be better. And obviously it's refreshing to see that staff say, we know we can be better than this, and we're going to be better than this. So, you know, obviously you get this bye week, get some of that stuff shored up a little bit, get that offensive line consistent a little bit more. Sean Foster drew the start at right tackle against the Zips, you know, get him fully integrated into that starting group, and then bring on the Longhorns, man, you know, and then all of a sudden the real big boy games start.
Yeah. Every year, when there's a bye week, sometimes there are two, obviously, but the question is posed, does it come at a good time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the perfect time because of those very things you talked about, because of the amount of growth they still have to want to make. And then you've got on the other end the outside hype that will surround a Thursday night nationally televised game against Texas coming to town with bitter memories of the last time that happened with the goal line situation. And a game that Texas played great.
Texas lost themselves the game on Saturday night on that.
What irony, right?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, a Texas team that's clearly improving after getting, you know, just owned, at least on defense, by Maryland in week one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good USC team. I don't think that's an elite team.
No.
I think it's a very good team. And Texas, you know, after stumbling early, you know, really, really showed up in that game, showed some moxie, showed some resilience.
And well, that defense is pretty good.
Yeah. They've got some playmakers on the line.
Right.
At every level of that defense, no question.
That defense is really good. But the thing that I tweeted this after the game, Texas scares me more now than they did before because they've got a bye week this week, too.
Yep.
It seems like they're shoring it up a little bit at that quarterback spot. Who knows what's going to happen with Shane Buechele and Sam Ellinger at this point? I mean, I thought that there were times when Sam Ellinger looked like he looked pretty dang good, mm-hmm. you know. But obviously, Buechele threw for 3,000 yards last year, was one of the top recruits in the country coming into that last season with Charlie Strong. So it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing, but I think that Ellinger just brings a different dynamic to that offense than what Buechele does because of his ability to make plays with his legs. And so you give that true freshman all week this week and most of next week to get ready. That scares me a little bit for what that Texas offense with Tom Herman is going to be able to do, because there's still some pretty good players there, even though USC held them in check for a lot of the game.
Yeah. Haven't gotten the running game going that much. I assume they'll be looking to do that. True freshman, I mean, I was impressed just by his gamer mentality.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just being a gamer, I should say, not gamer like I'm playing Call of Duty. But, you know, just to come back after really struggling, and he had a couple turnovers, and make some really clutch plays, third down, fourth down, all kinds of situations, that allows a guy like that to grow up at a highly accelerated rate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming into Ames, I mean, the atmosphere is going to be spectacular, I'm sure. The fans will make sure that's the case. And just exciting to think about it. But I get what you mean. I mean, I'm not so sure that game one under Coach Tom Herman, not that you don't want to win the game, that it
right.
was sorting out, I've mentioned this before, sorting out some things as you've reconfigured the program completely and put your stamp on it. Looked much better again against a very overmatched team in week two and toe-to-toe with the USC at a, you know, packed LA Coliseum Saturday night. So Texas, you know, we always do this Texas back kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not back. You know, they're 1-2. They're not back until they're winning 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, competing
two and one,
for.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
They beat San Jose State like 60-0.
Didn't they lose to Maryland?
Yeah. So they're 2-1. Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. For some reason, I thought fact like they won the game on Saturday.
Yep. That's right.
They played really well.
But I mean, they're still all the talent, all the things we've always talked about. It's like the Samson situation, right?
Yeah.
Although you didn't have it flowing like Clay Matthews by any means.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless, just a highly talented team, a real fantastic barometer game for Iowa State, and I'd say for Texas too, going on the road after playing so well and showing such, again, resilience in L.A.
One thing that does bode well, I think, for Iowa State is the fact that they come to Ames And then they've got a gauntlet those next 2 weeks because you get the Red River Shootout the next game, and then you've got to go and take on Oklahoma State the week after that. So, I'm not saying they're – I feel like that's a team that probably can't look ahead to anybody.
Yeah.
But I think that that has the potential to be a really, really fun game on a Thursday night. And like you said, the amped up atmosphere, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun 12 days as we kind of, you know, lead up to this thing and get ready for another really big night of football in Ames.
Absolutely.
What else we got here?
Yeah, the injury updates.
Oh, yeah, injury updates. Kamari Cottonmoya, still kind of up in the air what he's going to do. They said they hoped maybe he could be ready to get back into practice later this week, early next week, to get ready to play against Texas. But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound overly convincing to me that he'll be ready.
It's such a shame. He's been banged up so many times in different areas. And I remember after the Iowa game, Coach Campbell said, Don, maybe it was a shoulder, turned out to be an elbow, right?
Yeah.
And Don, it wouldn't be lengthy, and yet here we are with this, you know, bye week. And we can't say, you know, you can never say definitively because people can have setbacks when they get back out on the practice field or they're just not healing as quickly as you think. But, yeah, still sounding iffy, hopeful, but iffy. That's a point of concern. And DeAndre Payne got hurt early, obviously.
Hurt his hamstring. He's day-to-day. Didn't practice on Sunday, so.
But as Coach Campbell said on the teleconference, we both took part in, really encouraged by the, you know, how about Braxton Lewis with the pick? How about Keontae Jones?
Yeah, Keontae Jones and Richard Bowens both came at the cornerback spots. I mean, I still think there was
Arnold Azuna, when he gets healthy, I assume he's kind of coming along slowly like those guys.
I would say that the secondary has been, I mean, the receivers, obviously, you know, you want them to be at the level that I think everybody thought they were going to be, but they've still been pretty good. And it's like we said, that offense has still been really good. It's just they haven't reached that level that I think everybody wanted them to see of being elite.
Yeah.
But that defensive backfield, I would say, has to be the biggest disappointment so far of the season.
Yeah. And they, because of what you expected out of that group, too, with experience. You know, and you can't control the injuries. I mean, Kamari getting hurt in the Iowa game, how much did that affect the outcome? Maybe a lot, maybe a little, maybe not. But I think it certainly had some impact. And his ongoing absence then into Akron and hopefully no further. And then, I mean, I think one of the reasons that they've maybe underwhelmed versus what the expectation is you've had them a lot of times in man coverage, or you've had them, you know, that dime situation against Iowa, notwithstanding where Wadley had the big play, a lot of times really low in the box, and it worked against Akron. I mean, not only you get a lot of sacks, but you really held Warren Ball in check, and except for one big run. I mean, he got no traction whatsoever. So I think part of it is, not symptomatic, but it's drawn from the fact that you've left them in more man situations, and take off the hat to Nathan Stanley in that game for Iowa. He made some great throws, overthrew a couple, but he made some great throws in that game as a young quarterback. Woodson had a few, especially in that second quarter on third and long, that really hurt the Cyclones in situations where I a couple times I think they were just hitting in the middle of a zone, but I think that's one of the reasons. So hopefully as we get in a situation where they're not in as many one-on-one situations, that they can show up a little bit more, because we know the talent's there, and certainly they've made some big plays, just had a few more breakdowns than I think we would have expected.
For sure. We'll talk more about this Iowa State's win over Akron tomorrow on CFTV Live with Jeff Woody. Of course, we'll have the rest of our normal lineup of podcasts throughout the week. Hopefully, we'll have a On the Trail podcast with Zion Griffin as well. Thanks, man, for coming in.
Hey, thank you, my man.
Thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of the Monday Rundown every single week. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.